want to begin the message this morning by relating a story. One young lady wrote home from college, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. We had a fire in the dormitory, and I broke my right arm and injured my left leg when I jumped from the second-story window of the school. But we were lucky. A young man named Paul saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. While I was recovering in the hospital, Paul came to see me every day. When I came out of the hospital, the dormitory wasn't ready yet, so I moved in with Paul. He has been so nice, but I must admit that I'm expecting a child. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a job and make his current child support payments. I hope things are fine at home. I'll write again when I get a chance. Love, your daughter. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and failed chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective." Boy, a C in sociology and failing chemistry doesn't look so bad all of a sudden, does it? Proper perspective is so important. When things go haywire, it doesn't take long to lose perspective, because what happens quite naturally is we focus on that which isn't going right. There could be 100 things going right, but if something goes wrong, it's only natural that we're going to be fixed on it. And it's going to make us lose perspective over the overall situation. It happens all the time. Take, for instance, the Israelites. They were living in the desert. Before that, God had miraculously opened the way for them to leave Egypt. You know, Moses going to Pharaoh and all the miracles that took place. And then when finally the Pharaoh let them go, and God opened the way for them to cross through the Red Sea when it looked like they were stuck between the ocean and the Pharaoh's army that was coming after them. It was a great miracle after a great miracle. And God sustained them with food and water. Nothing fancy, but they didn't go hungry and they didn't die of thirst. They would have perished without God's miracles. And what did the people do in the desert? They grumbled against God. Seriously. They thought, you know, they made fun of God. Like, "God, wasn't there enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die in the desert? Is that why you did this?" I mean, looking back from our perspective, it seems ridiculous that they would have complained. And yet, the truth of the matter is that it's so easy to complain. We have a difficulty with giving thanks, with gratitude. And yet, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 reminds us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of times people talk about, what's God's will for my life? And it's a good question. You know, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? And there are several things in the Bible that tells us this is God's will for you. And it means for all of us. And giving thanks in all circumstances is God's will for you, for me, in Christ Jesus. Now, I recognize that this is one of those verses that's a whole lot easier said than done. I mean, giving thanks in all circumstances? I mean, really? I know you can give thanks when things are going right. In fact, it's pretty easy to give thanks when things are going right. But does God really expect us to give thanks in all circumstances? I mean, if the Bible said give thanks in 75% of your circumstances, or maybe even 90% of your circumstances, you might say, I can handle that. Can I at least have 5% that I can grumble about? That's not what the Word of God says. And sometimes the circumstances in our lives are downright difficult. We have people in our congregation right now with very challenging situations. We have elderly people who can't get around, virtually confined to their beds. We have people who are alone. Actually, we have many people who are alone. We have people who are broken physically. Many are broken physically. Some, like myself, it's just been a nuisance. It's just been, you know, it's a nuisance. It's a bit of pain. But for others, their physical brokenness, their illness is much more debilitating. It prevents them from meaningful employment. It prevents them from fulfilling their hopes and their dreams. We have people uncertain of where they're going to live and all the pressures that that brings. We have marriages that need help, trust that's been broken, hurt that's runs deep. And then there's all the people who are trying to make ends meet. Probably most of us fit in one of those categories. Truth of the matter is, if we spend enough time getting to know someone, you will almost certainly encounter a difficult, challenging experience that they have gone through recently or are going through right now. You know, there's that saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch, you know, and in a way, there's no such thing as a free pass. I mean, we've all had, and often currently do have, some severe challenges, some difficulties, some struggles that we deal with. And so when Paul says to give thanks in all circumstances, I have to wonder, is he meaning all these sorts of things too that I just mentioned? And I have to say, yes, I absolutely believe that he does mean that. Why? Because he's been through all that. You see, if it was me telling you this, you might say, Norm, I don't know what you're talking about. You've had it fairly easy. But for Paul, he wasn't living in some kind of fantasy world where everything went just right. It wasn't a fairy tale. He wrote to the Thessalonians to be thankful in all circumstances. He had it rough. And I want us to listen to Paul's testimony, if Gabriel would play that for us.
I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches.
That's Paul's testimony. And so when a man who went through all of that comes along and he reminds us to give thanks in all circumstances, we can say that he's speaking from very personal and very difficult experience. And in spite of that, he learns to be content. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The key is that our contentment can't be based on our circumstances. If it were, then there would be a direct relationship between our circumstances and our thanksgiving. Our circumstances get good, get better, we're doing high, we're doing well, and our thanksgiving goes up. And things start to go down, and we run into problems, maybe an illness, maybe a little bit of financial trouble, maybe some problems at home, and our thankfulness goes down. But that's not the case. That's not the way it needs to be. That's not the way it should be. Paul doesn't say to give thanks for the circumstances, although there is merit in that as well. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. And really, the point I want to bring to you this morning is this. Giving thanks in all circumstances is an act of faith. It is saying to God, God, I trust you with this. I don't know where this is heading. I can't see the end, but I know that you are with me, and I am going to trust you with this. You see, anyone can and should give thanks at a full table. Many of us are going to do that sometime today or tomorrow. We'll have a full table. We'll be eating well. We'll be giving thanks, as we should. But giving thanks at an empty table, or maybe in an empty house, or maybe with brokenness in a hospital room, that takes great faith. An example of this, in my opinion, is the story of Jehoshaphat. You'll find that story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll be referring to it a little bit in the next few minutes. So if you have your Bible, you might want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verses 2 and 3, it says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. A little further on, it says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So basically, you know, we talk about bad news. And here's a man who was a leader, and he received some pretty bad news. It was a vast army that was coming against them. And they weren't coming for Thanksgiving dinner. They were coming to do away with these people. And Jehoshaphat is alarmed. Bad news. He's frightened. He goes to the Lord in prayer. He takes it to God in prayer, which is always a good idea. Anytime we are alarmed, anytime we receive some troubling news, we're frightened, something happens, always a good idea to go to God in prayer. And Jehoshaphat did just that. He prayed a prayer of commitment to God. In verse 6, he recognizes God as the Father who holds all power. He recognizes that he himself has no power to face this vast army that's coming to attack them. And then in verse 12, he closes by saying, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then God speaks to Jehoshaphat through one of the men, and he says, don't be afraid. Verse 15, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then a little further, it says, you will not fight this battle. Take your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. Well, that's just one little episode from the Old Testament history, but there's something really inspiring in here about faith and trust in God, and that is that they praised, verse 19, they praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. And the point I want to make here is that they were praising God while the enemy was still coming. This isn't after the enemy was defeated. This isn't after the problem was solved and things go back to normal and we gather our friends around and we have a prayer and we say, thank you, God, for delivering us from those nasty people. Thank you, God, for doing this. And thank you, you have really... This is before all of that. This is while the enemy is still marching toward... A vast army is still marching towards them, and they praised God. They thanked God with a loud voice in advance. That's the kind of thanksgiving and praise and trust that I'm talking about. A trust in all circumstances, especially the challenging ones. Like I said, it would have been easy to praise God after the enemy was defeated. That wouldn't take much faith, would it? Anybody can do that. But it's something else entirely to praise God in the midst of difficulty. And I wonder if I can speak with you, frankly, as one of you. We're all together in this. I wonder how much of our thanksgiving is in response to God's favor, which, don't get me wrong, is also a good idea, and how much of it is given even before we experience God's favor. You see, going back to Jehoshaphat, the next day, the day the battle was to take place, Jehoshaphat and his men were getting ready to go into the desert. They were expecting the army, the vast army that was coming against them, to meet them. But before they went into battle, again, the vast army is still coming. They already prayed once. They gave thanks to God with loud voices. They praised God. And now in verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever." Just picture this with me for a moment. Here's all these people getting ready to go out and battle. Under normal circumstances, they would be expecting to die. They were outnumbered. They were outgunned, quote unquote. They were outpowered. And they're going out. And under normal circumstances, you think these guys are going to die. And yet they go out. And what does Jehoshaphat do? He sets people up to go in the front of the line, not with the best arrows and the spears and all that kind of stuff, the swords and the shields. He sends them out to sing praises. The front line of the battle is the worship band. There you go. Where's our worship team, you know? You guys get the front of the battle. Jehoshaphat thought it was so important to praise God, he actually appointed people to lead the army in praise and giving thanks to God. And after the battle was won, which they didn't need to fight, as the Lord had said he had fought it for them, they praised God again, worshiping and giving him thanks. And so before the battle, when they first heard the bad news, Jehoshaphat praised God. He thanked God. And then as they're going into the battle, they send out a praise team to thank God. And then after the battle, after the enemy was defeated, they thanked God again in all circumstances, not just when things are going right, but always. I know that's hard to do. And this morning, I want to encourage you to do just that. I want to encourage you to think of the things that are a challenge in your life right now. Think about that. And incidentally, I had somebody pray with me this morning. And the first sentence he prayed, it was amazing. He didn't know what I was preaching. He said, "Thank you, God, for the challenges that we face." Isn't that amazing? And that's what I'm talking about. What are some of the challenges that you're facing today? And what I'd like to encourage you to do is, instead of thinking of these challenges as a hindrance to your thankfulness, which is our normal response, I want to encourage you to see how these very challenges could be the basis for true thanksgiving before we even see the response, representing a deep-rooted trust in God. I believe that is what we are to do. And I believe that when we do that, our hearts will be lifted up. God will respond. The alternative is given to us in Psalm 77, verse 3. It says, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." We've probably all been there. But if we give thanks to God in all circumstances, the difficult ones, yes, the challenging ones, yes, the heartbreaking ones, yes, that is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. As an act of faith, maybe even, if you want to put it this way, a defiant act of faith. The enemy is trying to pull you down, and you say, no, I am going to put my trust in God. That is giving thanks, not for all the circumstances, but in them, as we are called to do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to come before you this morning. And Lord, I recognize, I know that there are difficult situations in our lives. And Lord, normally in our human endeavor, in our human strength, Lord, these challenges would bring us down. And they would cause us to withdraw our thanksgiving as we focus on the things that aren't going the way they ought to. And yet, Lord God, we are challenged to give you thanks in all circumstances. And I pray, Lord God, that today, that as we are thinking about those things that are a challenge to us, that we would be able to turn the negative into a positive as we look at these challenges as a means through which we can extend our faith and express our trust in you. And Lord God, we pray that you would bring forth your answer and bring your peace, Lord, your peace that passes all understanding as we put our trust in you. That is our prayer this morning, and for that we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.